This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
You work and work for years and years, you're always on the go. You never take a minute off, too busy making dough. Someday you say you'll have your fun when you're a millionaire. Imagine all the fun you'll have in your old rocking chair.
What I have to tell is a very grim story indeed.
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think. Enjoy yourself while you're still in the pink. The years go by as quickly as a wink. Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
But it does require that we have a moratorium on any new coal-fired power plants, and over the next 25 to 30 years, we're going to have to phase out those that exist.
What if you knew that every time you flip on your light switch, a mountaintop in West Virginia just blows up?
Enjoy yourself, it's later than you think.
Is it already too late to stop rampant climate change? An emailed blog posting asks, do we just enjoy the time we have left? Scientist James Lovelock thinks so. He wanted the subtitle of his new book, Vanishing Gaia, changed from Final Warning to Enjoy It While You Can. Is it really that serious? We'll hear top American and British administrators say that it is. But I want to contrast the response by two scientists, James Lovelock, who at age 90 plans to blast out into space, and NASA's James Hansen, the first world-class climate scientist to put himself up for arrest to stop mountaintop coal mining in West Virginia. From outer space to the deepest pit, enjoy yourself. This is Radio EcoShock. On June 18th, Hillary S. challenged her Care 2 global warming blog readers.
What I want to know is this. Can we as individuals actually do enough to stop it in time? Or should we just do what little we can and enjoy the time we have left?
That brought a blistering response from the deep green author, Derek Jensen.
This is why I hate so much of the so-called environmental movement. We're talking about life on this planet, and people move directly from consumer choices to giving up.
I'm sorry Derek is driven to hate others who are struggling to understand this new reality. He's already concluded that industrial civilization is not, and never can be, sustainable. In fact, he thinks civilization will and should fail. And just so you know, the world's best scientists are also debating whether there is anything we can do to stop climate change. How serious is it? Barack Obama appointed John Holdren as assistant to the President for Science and Technology and director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy. He's Obama's top science advisor. As part of the U.S. climate impacts release, Holdren appeared on the weekly environmental program Living on Earth. Here's a clip from the June 19th interview with John Holdren.
Well, first of all, I would say we're already noticing it. People are noticing changes in the growing seasons. They're noticing the increased frequency of wildfires, the increased frequency of floods in the United States. So the place to start is that we really are already experiencing adverse effects of climate change. What we will see if climate change continues unabated is all of these kinds of symptoms that I've described will become more severe. I would say that people in the West are likely to notice increasing difficulties with water shortages. In the longer run, one of the most noticeable effects is likely to be the increase in sea level that comes from a warming world and that we're already experiencing at a rate that is about twice the rate of sea level rise in the 20th century. You would have in some parts of the country where there might be 10 or 20 days a year over 100 degrees Fahrenheit now, you would in the future with these large increases in average temperature. You might have 100 or 150 days a year that exceed what you might call the threshold of very, very hot that would have large impacts on agriculture. I mean, the productivity of food crops would go down. You wouldn't be able to grow as much corn or wheat on an acre of land as you can grow today because the heat stress on the plants would be damaging their capacity to grow and bear grain.
Some people say, look, we're on this path. Climate change is inevitable. We're in it now. It's simply going to get worse. And the sense comes up that it may just be too late to do anything. How accurate is that?
I absolutely disagree that it's too late to do anything. What the science shows above all is that the more climate change we get, the more difficult it's going to be to cope with it. And we have opportunities by acting now and in the future to drastically reduce the amount of climate change we're going to be experiencing. I mean, this is a very simple proposition. More is worse, less is better, and we have the opportunity by taking action to make it less. That's what we ought to be doing.
The Gulf Coast all the way to Minnesota, we're talking about oppressive conditions. These are high temperatures. Little Rock, 100. Chicago, 94. Detroit, 93. Tampa, 94. Atlanta, 93. But when you factor in the heat and humidity, it feels like it's actually anywhere from 5 to 10 degrees above. It'll feel like 100 in Tampa.
Do we still get to avoid more warming here?
There is nothing that we can do to stop a climate change in its tracks. There's a tremendous amount of momentum built into the climate system. We are not yet experiencing the full consequences of the heat-trapping gases we've already added to the atmosphere because of time lags in the way the global climate system responds. So we will see some continuing increase in global surface temperature and regional increases in surface temperatures no matter what we do.
Do you really believe that the United States will act to hold global warming within 2 degrees centigrade, or that China and India will partake in that? Look, the Waxman-Markey bill is floundering. The Senate has just wandered it down terribly. Obama shows no sense of moving against coal. I don't believe it's going to happen. I'm sorry, I've got to go with Derek Jensen on this one. We're heading for big climate change.
It'll soon be over for you, the rest of us, the walking wounded. Must go on living for a while.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
You haven't heard?
Heard what?
The radio.
We can hear similar warnings all over the world, from the United Nations on down. Here's a recent release from the British Environment Agency with its head, Lord Chris Smith.
Climate change is undoubtedly happening already. We know that even if we stop emitting all greenhouse gases tomorrow, climate change will carry on happening for quite a while yet. But we can either make it better or we can make it worse. And if we carry on as we are at the moment, carbon dioxide emissions increasing by 3% a year globally, if we carry on like that, then we're not just going to face difficulties, we're going to face catastrophe as a planet. That we need desperately to try and avoid. One of the things that I feel very strongly is we can fix this. We can deal with it. We can change the way as a society that we work. And unless we do that, we're going to face serious problems.
From the heart of San Francisco and going out to all America, this is Green 960 AM, the Radio EcoShock Show. I could spend another hour explaining the complete breakdown of the recent talks in Bonn. Those were supposed to set up a survival route for humanity with a new agreement to save the climate. That was by rapidly reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. Greenpeace issued a fake edition of the International Herald Tribune with the headline, "World Leaders Sign Pact to Avert Climate Disaster." So many of us dream to read those headlines. Quote, in a front-page ad in today's International Herald Tribune, the leaders of the European Union thank the European public for having engaged in months of civil disobedience leading up to the Copenhagen Climate Conference that will be held this December. It was only thanks to your massive pressure over the past 6 months that we could so dramatically shift our climate change policies. To those who were arrested, we thank you. Oh, yeah. Well, here is what really happened. Likely you've heard some solid science, including on this program, saying we need to cut human-induced greenhouse gas emissions 40% by 2020 to keep a livable planet as we know it. That's a big cut, 40% by 2020. This is what countries have proposed so far, according to Phil England, the host of Climate Radio in the UK. Australia, well, it's not clear. A conditional target of 25%, but they're starting from a base year of the year 2000, not 1990 as they should. Canada's proposing a massive 2.7% cut. Ooh, boo for Canada and the tar sands. The EU is proposing 20 to 30%, half of which would be in offsets. That means, you know, some forest in some other part of the world, which could easily not work out or be faked. Norway is proposing 30%, a third of which could be offsets. Japan, just 8%, but no offsets. New Zealand is saying, well, we'll tell you later. Russia, yep, later again. And the United States, a massive 0 to maybe 4%. The exact number is unclear because it's mainly in offsets and no real cuts. The IPCC's 2007 assessment, now considered to be based on old science, is that industrialized countries should be making cuts of 40% at the very least. So says Phil England. And to keep up with the international climate negotiations, you must listen to Climate Radio with host Phil England. Go to climateradio.org for all his programs. So, we can forgive the public for fearing the worst, for feeling like we should give up. Let's visit that pit of despair with the granddaddy of give up, Sir James Lovelock.
Now, the Earth's been in, it has two comfortable states, or perhaps three. One that the geologists call the ice houses, the glaciations, long states of lots of glaciers and cold. And the other state is what they call the hot houses, about 6 degrees warmer than now, that sort of thing. And
now, 6 degrees doesn't sound a lot, but it's disastrous.
It's Celsius, of course, not Fahrenheit, right. But it's an average for the world. Right. And that means it can be very hot in given places, much hotter than that.
So there's nothing we can do to reverse what's happened so far?
I wouldn't say absolutely nothing. If everybody could get together around the world, which would require a great deal of political action, and get farmers everywhere to convert their wastes to char, that's charcoal, and either bury it in the soil or drop it in the sea, that might make quite a difference. But we're awful slow to act. Consider Kyoto was 12 years ago, and not a lot has been done about global heating since then.
No, indeed it hasn't. And so, I mean, there's no action to reverse what's happened now. Is there any action to stop its ongoing destructiveness?
Well, my view is our duty is to survive. You see, it's not going to be totally fatal. There'll be quite a lot of us survive. And our descendants have got to inherit a worthwhile place. Like these islands, for example, are going to be horribly overcrowded. So are lots of other places in the world. We don't want it to turn into some sort of shackville. We want it to them to have sort of decent cities with proper infrastructures. And that's enough of a job to keep us busy. I don't think we should be wasting time and energy trying to stop it with rather useless means. They talk of a tipping point, that we go so far and then there's catastrophe. But it implies that you can go back if you don't reach the tipping point. I don't think we can.
That was Sir James Lovelock with interviewer David Frost on April 10th, 2009. Our next clip comes from a program called The Hour on CBC in Canada with host George Strombolopoulos.
And so how long does it take to get to the place where we can no longer... Like, are you saying that... You're not saying the entire human race will be wiped out, but you're saying
heavens,
that...
Heavens, no.
But a significant number. You're not talking about a party here.
I'm afraid so. As many as 7 out of 8 are likely to be wiped out, yes.
Is that bleak enough for you? The big call, billions of humans dead as humans race towards the poles to escape killer heat, storms and blowing sand, and agriculture falls apart. Whoa.
We get some, we both know it, we don't try. out too much about it.
This is Radio EcoShock, and that was a bit of Tom Petty, the studio version with a little Live Aid crowd mixed in. I'm Alex Smith. We're talking about whether we can still turn this thing around, or is the climate already gone? Should we just party hardy, fly around the world, drive gas guzzlers like there's no tomorrow? Earlier, we heard from James Lovelock, the controversial scientist who thinks that we should. At age 90, he intends to toss a pile of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere just so he can be a space tourist. But Lovelock has been wrong as much as he's been right. Thanks for raising our awareness of Gaia, the urge of living things to work together for life. And thank you for the tool that showed micropoisons in the atmosphere, like chlorofluorocarbons. But Lovelock totally misjudged these CFCs that damaged the ozone hole so badly. Lovelock fails to add that he testified to Congress for the chemical industry for big money. His testimony may have delayed action on CFCs and damaged the ozone hole. It took a decade of protests, people hanging themselves from buildings and blocking railway cars and fighting on, to bring the world governments to CFC banning action in 1987 with the Montreal Protocol. In fact, Lovelock's career is festooned with serious errors. He advocated tearing down Britain's hedgerows for industrial farming, wiping out many native bird and animal species. He's pushed dangerous nuclear power while fighting against clean wind energy.
Similarly, if you look back in the Earth's past history, you find that it went through hot spells many times in the past. The one we know best about took place 55 million years ago. When the Arctic Ocean became so warm as to be tropical. But life persisted. It had time to move up there, nearly all of it, so there was no great extinction. And when the Earth cooled off again, and it took 200,000 years, life moved back again and re-inhabited the Earth. I think that this is very much something that may lie before us.
Yes, climate shifts have happened many times before and life adapted, but at least five times previously. Life adapted by mass extinctions beyond anything we've ever known. The climate change he describes also developed over hundreds, if not thousands, of years, giving the species time to adapt, maybe even to evolve. There has never been a species like us that could haul massive amounts of concentrated solar energy out of the ground as fossil fuels. And worse yet, James Lovelock fails to tell the audience that where we've found evidence of relatively fast climate shifts, say up to 5 degrees Celsius in a decade or so perhaps, it was from a very cold period, an ice age, to a warmer period like the interglacial period that we now inhabit. But this time, we're moving from a warm interglacial into a hothouse world way too fast. James Lovelock is 90, famous and wealthy and ready to push off. He can be optimistic about a giant cull of humanity, mass death within the lifetimes of our descendants or sooner. Oh, great. So let's just give up and enjoy ourselves with another cruise ship holiday? No thanks. I've got a much better scientist role model for you and for me.
We did not realize until recently that previous warm periods, the previous so-called interglacial periods, some of which were warmer than the present one, we're not very much warmer, at most 1 degree warmer than the present period. On the other hand, there were times, if we go back 3 million years ago, when the Earth was about 3 degrees warmer, but it was a different planet. There was no sea ice in the Arctic, and sea level was at least 15 meters higher, probably about 25 meters higher. That's 80 feet. I mean, that's a huge climate change. It's something that we really would have a very hard time dealing with because we've set up all of our infrastructure with the coastlines where they are now. And also, a warming that large would have a huge impact on many species. It would drive many high-latitude and high-altitude species to extinction. So we really cannot afford, we really don't want to have a climate change of anything like that magnitude.
It's James Hansen, the head of NASA, Goddard Space Institute for Space Studies in New York City, and a professor at Columbia University. Way back in 1988, he warned the U.S. government that climate change could damage our world.
Hansen on Democracy Now!
NASA's top climate scientist, James Hansen, warned on Monday, the world has long passed the dangerous level for greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and that the Earth is nearing a tipping point. Hansen said, quote, we're toast if we don't get on a very different path. This is the last chance. He also called for the government to block the construction of new coal-fired plants. During an interview on NPR, Hansen called for the chief executives of oil companies to be tried for their role in spreading disinformation on climate change.
The groups, the American Geophysical Union, the American Meteorological Society, the National Academy of Sciences, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is a United Nations international organization, all of these large panels of scientists have made very clear statements about the reality of global warming and its cause. So the of course, in the hundreds of thousands of scientists in the world, you can find a number of them which will say anything, and that gets a lot of attention because the fossil fuel industry has taken the position that it will give prominence to those contrarians. And that's one of the big problems we have, because now the public does not know that there's such a large consensus among the scientific community. Because it sounds like there's a debate, and there's really no real scientific debate.
NASA's James Hansen goes further. In many speeches, he warns humans may create climate change so severe that it would create, quote, a different planet. He compares the case of Venus, the baked planet enshrouded by a carbon-loaded atmosphere. Speeches and Radio EcoShock shows about James Hansen litter our website at ecoshock.org. Go ahead and listen to the man. Instead of giving up, Hansen is leading the way towards scientific activism. In this spring, he appeared at an anti-coal demonstration in Britain. This past week, he dared arrest, and possibly a wacko attack, by joining a demonstration against mountaintop removal mining, the worst kind of coal mining, in West Virginia. This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith. I began this program by asking if we should give up and party. You must know by now, we can't give up this rich planet and a decent life for all coming generations?
We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender until in God's good time the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of the old.
Forget about James Lovelock. Let's enjoy and save the climate, too. Find all our past shows for free download at our website, ecoshock.org. Thank you for not giving up. Here is Michael Jackson.